Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Finally, gentlemen and Chris, we are back with some mad, blurry hysteria. As David just put it, number eight, the Ocho. This is Ocho for
the
us.
The Ocho.
Oh, I'm feeling excited.
This one's full of bold moves, Cotton.
I'm non-verklempt. I got my Diet Mountain Dew ready right here next to me. So, yeah. What's going on out there in the world of your guys' lives?
Oh, same old.
Oh, my God.
Nothing new. Keep going.
Same old boring stuff, you guys. Same old boring stuff.
I just posted a picture of Fermilab on Hysteria Nation, and people are like, that's a terrifying building. That looks evil. I know they don't know what it is. I'm just so like, that's a really cool building. I'm out of touch with kids these days, I guess.
Oh, I totally am. Oh, my God.
With their clothes and their shoes and their music and their attitudes.
And that girl that just got her driver's license or whatever it was.
Speaking of just that, I got my first Pfizer vaccine, first shot yesterday, and actually it was the day before, and yesterday, about halfway through the day, I started getting sick as fuck. My arm, I was running a fever, everything. Today, I'm perfect. It's all gone, so yay me.
Wow. I get that every time I get the flu shot.
Oh, do you really?
I feel like I end up getting, like, I get like a low grade fever, and I'll just feel like, you know, I'll just feel like ass the rest of the day, and then I'll take a nap and I'll feel better the next day.
Low grade fever was actually the band that David played bass for in college.
I'm right. Happy you brought it.
Smells
up.
Smells like ass was my
smells like ass
was my
spirit.
Poison cover band. So
it's usually the next day for me. I'll get a flu shot, and then the next day I'm worthless. I'll just lay in bed.
Yeah, I always get the flu shots, and I haven't really had the I was worried about this, too, because everyone's like, oh, my God, felt like hammered shit the next day or later and stuff. But my wife got it, and she's nothing. She's like, suck it up, pussy, you know, and punching me in the arm. She wasn't doing that, but it's fun to say that when it's recorded. So for prosperity, posterity, whatever. That's a butt. We got some stories for us. Chris, I think yours is the big one. We'll save yours for the end. Mine's kind of a crazy one because it blows my mind. This week, mine comes from United Press International, the UPI, if you nasty. Check this out. On March 31st, a Croatian diver broke the Guinness Book of World Records record for personal holding your breath submerged for the longest time on one single lungful of air, not just going like, oh, that's where I'm holding my breath, actually underwater. And this blows my fucking mind. This guy stayed submerged on one lungful of air for 24 minutes and 33 seconds.
Yowzer.
Budimar Buddha Sabat, 54. And he previously had his own record that Guinness hadn't verified, but this time they did. It was for 24 minutes and 11 seconds on a single breath. That was back in 2018. Well, he said, oh, no, my children and friends, and broke that motherfucker in a swimming pool, under the guise or the gaze of Guinness Book of World Records. It's crazy. Now, it broke the previous record, which was 11 minutes and 35 seconds.
Wow.
That was the officially recognized one. And it blows
my leap.
Yeah, so I looked it up, and just thinking of other animals, the average dolphin species can hold their water. they don't like to pee in the water.
They don't pee at all. Yeah.
They can hold their breath underwater for between 8 and 10 minutes, and some can remain submerged for up to 15 minutes, but not like an abnormally long time. The longest whale holding their breath ever captured or verified, it was 137 minutes, or over 2 hours. That's pretty crazy when they say you can start having brain damage after like 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Which kind of brings me into this whole, like, some people have like superhuman abilities, and this is kind of one of them, that his body can, you know, hold on to that oxygen and use it and make it viable for that long.
Huh. So this guy's real life Aquaman.
Yeah. Well, and how long do you stay under there? They're like, is he still awake? Is he alive? Yeah. 3 hours later, should we tap on him or something?
This guy's going the distance.
It remains the worst superpower. Though, right? Like, it just remains the worst superpower.
Well, if
like,
you're being,
who cares?
If you're hiding in a creek from bad guys, it's pretty good. But otherwise, you know, otherwise.
Other than that very specific example.
Yeah. I guess if you're hiding in a creek.
Or,
fine,
I'm sorry, for some of our listeners, a crick. You know,
right.
Those yeah. Coloradans. Apologies.
Right, apologies all around. Yeah, I mean, it's cool, I guess. It's pretty cool. I don't know. It's crazy. What's interesting, or I guess for me the most interesting part, or one thing that I wonder about with that is, like, how – what's the word? Like, how – what is physiologically happening in his body?
That's what I was saying. Like, how does his body regulate the oxygen usage? So it, you know, because some people just can't do it, and other people, you train your lungs so that, you know, skin divers and stuff, their lung capacity is massive compared to you and I and normal people. Sure. Does he have like ridiculously large lung capacity on top of somehow? Does he have 5 times red blood cells that a normal person has for some reason? Or are they just better at regulating the usage of oxygen? I
wouldn't be surprised if he's able to, like, increase his blood saturation level of oxygen, right? Like an athlete or whatever it's called.
Buddha of blood doping?
No, that's not what I mean. I guess it's kind of like that, right? But like you know, like, why do people train in like Colorado for marathons and whatever? It's because the body gets used to kind of those adverse conditions, and this is sort of a similar. I mean, it's a more extreme version of that, but like, I wouldn't be surprised if partly it's that. I also wonder too, is he just storing air in a way? Like, is he just like swallowing like a shitload of air in his stomach and then like burping it up and breathing it in that way? Like, I don't know. Like, I bet there's like tricks to the trade. Cause that's the other thing too. He's not going, he doesn't go deep into the water. He's like floating on the surface with his face down, you know?
Oh.
So that's what makes me wonder, like, is he just like storing air like a chipmunk in his stomach?
Well, but even if they did that, I don't think the depth of the water would make that big of a difference, other than the compression from going deeper. But, you know, it's all done in a pool. His head is,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
is submerged.
It was good enough for
Guinness to say, yeah, he was submerged the entire time.
Right, yeah. I guess the other reason why I even bring up the depth is because, like, obviously the pressure differential would be important there for, like, blood saturation and everything else and getting into the blood. But then also, like, I know, like, extreme, what do they call them? Like, free divers, I guess, or something
like
that. Skin
divers, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that go super deep. I bet they would have a really good shot. Maybe not at, like, a 26 minutes or whatever this one was. But, like, man, it's really interesting. I wonder.
This one wasn't about the water. They just used the water because it's a grand equalizer. You can't cheat when you're underwater.
Sure,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? So this isn't, like, a holding your breath under. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just for the longest, you know, holding your breath type
right.
thing. I don't know. It's a crazy one, you know, and for all we know, no adverse effects. It was kind of cool though. He did it to raise money for earthquake relief. And then also, his daughter, 20, Sasha, she has cerebral palsy, autism, and epilepsy. Wanted to like bring awareness to that. Holy shit. Yeah. So good for him. Good for him.
That's pretty amazing. Because I was going to say, would you be surprised if it came out that he did cheat somehow?
I mean, I don't know. Fucking hell. Was it, she played Rose in Titanic. just came up. She can hold her breath for like 7 minutes. They just did it like almost 7 minutes. They did it in filming for some movie that's just coming out. She broke the Tom Cruise record of like 5 minutes and something that he had held his breath. So, you know, that motherfucker's like, get me on another movie underwater.
Yeah. And a motorcycle too.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering too. With a lot of those records, it's like, yeah, like, okay, you did it, but like, why? You know, it's like, you know, eating watches. Or like, you know, running the fastest mile backwards. Like, okay, yeah, you could do it. I bet if someone who was a better, like if Usain Bolt tried to run backwards the mile, I bet he'd beat your time. You're just the only jackass. I mean, who knows?
Well, because this guy has a natural ability to use it to raise money for his homeland because it raised money for an earthquake. Chris,
not to take away from this guy, like
Chris hates charity.
Or his ability or whatever. Yeah, I fucking hate charity. Not to take away from any of that kind of stuff or whatever, but it's just this one seems like it is probably really hard to do. But I wonder though too, I don't have a good sense. Like, I know how long I can hold my breath. It's like 2 minutes. I'm not exactly in the best of shape though. I wonder.
2 minutes is no joke.
Someone who is more capable of, you know, who's like a long distance runner or a swimmer or whatever.
Well, you're in luck, Chris. All they got to do is call up Guinness and hold their breath in front of them. That's all they got to do. But he beat the other world record by over 13 minutes by the next best person. So they got something to strive for.
Still crazy. Yeah, no, it's nuts.
Something like that. You know, it really shows what the human body is capable of. I think that's more interesting than just, you know, like you said, running backwards for a mile.
That's what I took away of this. Is it's fantastic that the body can even do that. That he's not coming out and you know, a vegetable, or something like that. Literally, So, David, what you got for us?
I got one that's it's kind of a mixed bag because I feel like
terrifying,
it's very,
but keep going.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. But I thought of a silver lining to it while I was going through it too, because this one's I got it off Live Science, and it's researchers can now collect and sequence DNA from the air, which is terrifying. What they did was they took naked mole rats and they had them in lab conditions. So that's one thing, and I'll circle back to that. But they were able to vacuum up the air and use sort of like a HEPA filter type thing and peel off the little bits of DNA from these mole rats. And they were able to accurately sequence them and know that these were the mole rat DNAs that they found.
Wow. I just love that in some fucking lab somewhere, someone kept cutting farts, and a doctor's like, oh, I'm going to prove it to you, Jerry. I'm going to fucking prove it to you.
That's the whole impetus for the whole thing.
You know, maybe this just shows my, like, cynical side. The first thing I thought of when I read this article was another type of DNA for Bigfoot not to have.
Well, okay, so that's the silver lining, right? So it's scary because they also found DNA of humans, which makes sense because, you know, they're not hermetically sealed with these mole rats. It was the researchers' DNA that they found as well. But that means that larger, you know, organisms can have their DNA in the air through either dead skin cells or saliva or whatever. It's in there, and they are able to detect it, which means they're going to keep working on refining that in outside conditions, not lab conditions, right? So if you take this into the field for cryptozoology, like you said, Chris, it's either, yes, this is another thing that won't be Bigfoot, or this is a way to narrow it down in case there is something out there running around. You know what I mean?
Tree knocking. I'm just going to throw out buzzwords. Mating call. I don't know.
Scat. Which, you know, it brings up a whole new set of questions. Like, well, what if they find the DNA and they don't know what it is, or, you know, it's weird. It's not something they've encountered. Is everybody going to jump on the Bigfoot train? Or is it just going to kind of melt away eventually. I don't know. But yeah, it's terrifying to think that people can just get snatched DNA out of the air, then they've got DNA to do whatever they want to do with. You know, maybe it's good for law enforcement, for solving crimes and stuff. Maybe it's good for cryptozoology. I doubt anything would come of it, but it's better than just going around looking for scat or bones or hair clippings, right? It's got to be a little better.
You know what's funny, actually? I actually don't, like, because, like, okay, at a crime scene, right, you can get DNA from, like, loads of surfaces and, like, loads of stuff. Mm-hmm. The problem is narrowing it down to be, like, you know, first off, to be kind of pure enough and usable enough to study and to be able to tell, like, this is this species, right?
And but then the other, yeah.
Yeah, and exactly. And the other part of it is being able to separate it from, like, all the other stuff that's in an area. Mm-hmm. So, like, this, the fact that they were able to capture DNA from air and then kind of, you know, copy it and copy it and copy it until they had enough to sequence, that's really interesting. I think a kind of a really cool show of technology and how good we've gotten at manipulating and kind of, like, you know, using DNA. But in terms of, like, you know, this criminal was, you know, I don't know. What are you going to show that this guy was in the place where, I mean, I guess in some cases, like, a random murder or something, or like a, you know, serial killer situation or whatever,
it can be really useful kind of thing.
Right. But, like, but I'm thinking, like, the vast majority of crimes are committed by someone that, like, you know, you know, so don't trust anyone and carry a knife. But, like, you know, but yeah, so I guess I wonder what the, I don't know.
Usefulness,
I wonder what the value of it ultimately will be or how useful it'll find to be. But it is super freaking cool and interesting.
Yeah. It, to me, it's another step towards narrowing that field if they can refine it enough to where it's legitimate and credible. But it's also very scary. Just, you know, with the way the world's headed with technology and stuff, DNA can do a lot for someone in the wrong hands, if that makes sense.
Well, look where they went around and pulled up the cigarette butts and they pulled the DNA and made the faces on the wall of the people that had thrown them on the ground.
Yeah, I guess the difference here, though, like what you're saying, Flora, is, you know, I go into a Walmart where there's, like, a crime committed or whatever. They collect DNA from the air. Like, how the hell do you ever get a warrant for the air?
Well, I think we're focusing down. I don't know that that's the answer. It's just, I think this is a, you know, a form factor where they're like, look, we can do this. Now what do we do with it?
Yeah, you I think know. So. Yeah, I ultimately think so, too. That's what I'm saying.
That's the point we're at, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and to your point, Chris, I think it's more if they don't have any other option to prove that someone was there, at least that would come out. It's kind of like right now a plan C or D for forensics.
It's kind of like if you're the type of person who can hold your breath for 24 minutes. Well, cool. Now, what do you do with that? Probably raise money for earthquake relief, and Chris gets mad at you about that. You know, that kind of thing. What were you saying about hating the people of his country? What country was that again, Chris? I forget.
Yeah. What? Why do you not care so much about cerebral palsy?
Oh my god! You guys are gonna ruin me.
If anyone would like air that he had been in the vicinity with, just write us at.
We're cloning assholes this week.
Forget DNA. What if your friends set you up in a podcast? Messed up, guys.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get now. Started. For a very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit RosettaStone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rashate, you're 50% off. Rashate. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. That's all we are is hot air
messed
DNA.
Up. You're bringing us one from the coffers of George Knapp.
Oh boy. Okay. So George Knapp has a website now called Mystery Wire, which I believe is written in WordPress. Just based on the way it looks.
Thought you were gonna say Latin.
No.
You just shit on the Hysteria 51 WordPress site.
I'm coming for you guys now. You come for me. You come for the king. You best not miss. Anyways,
come get lorem. It's ipsum.
Anyways, Mystery Wire. He's got this website, and so you know people. If you know George Knapp for anything, he's one of those kind of group of reporters who have really made their career only reporting on like UFO stuff or weird stuff, right? So it's like, you know, kind of like a Blumenthal, a Leslie Keene, George Knapp. So he posted this article that is about a story originally in The Debrief, which is run by Tim McMillan and has reporters like MJ Benias and those folks on there, that initially showed a picture of what was looks most like a Batman balloon.
I think that's what people know it as, the Batman balloon.
Yeah, so if you know of this story, you know of it.
I think it's called the Batloon.
Right, it's the Batman balloon UFO case, but the government My evidently Bat-a-loons. Calls it the Acorn. But so this story basically talks about, you know, where these photos came from. So from March 4th, 2019, an F-18 weapon systems officer seated behind a pilot in a fighter jet used his iPhone to capture three images of images of three different objects, I should say, that they said they encountered in the same airspace. One of those photos is the Acorn photo,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, kind of infamously is the one that looks like the Batman balloon. But then there are also other photos that supposedly the Navy calls one of them the Sphere,
mm-hmm.
and the other one they call the Acorn, which is the Batman balloon. And then they also have one that is a metallic blimp is what they call
it. They have said there are more photos than these. These are the ones that have been released, which does go along with military stuff. But yeah, these are the ones that have, I love that they took these photos that are already everywhere and put Mystery Wire watermarks all over them. Like they aren't available everywhere else.
Well, the other two are just released on Mystery Wire now. Right. So those two are legitimately like, those are scoops. That's something interesting. Now, interestingly enough, Mystery Wire says that they found this out at a private briefing hosted by Robert Bigelow and several others in Las Vegas on Saturday, April 6th, 2019. So again, the Bigelow NAP, government Bigelow NAP pipeline continues. And they say that some of these, supposedly this, you know, from the UAP task force, they're getting info that these, you know, the objects remain stationary in high winds with no movement. That's really what they're saying appeared to be the biggest difference or the biggest thing that the objects did that was out of the ordinary. Now, one thing people smartly on Twitter have pointed out and in the comments is it's really, you know, this is an image of an object across a blue sky. It is really hard to tell if an object is stationary or not when it's far away and you're moving exceptionally quickly. Mm-hmm. Anyone who has ever been on a train looking at another train as one of them leaves the station and the other one stays has had that optical illusion happen to them where you think your train is moving or vice versa when it isn't.
Which brings up the questions that everyone was kind of bringing in of, okay, so you're a weapons operator. What did your targeting systems do?
Could right, exactly. Like, what did the data actually show you? Or what other data is there available? You know, the fact that the government asked for people to report on these things, which is another thing this article mentions, is interesting, of course, mm-hmm. right? But again, a lot of this, at least in my mind, comes down to we really want, you know, one interesting thing with UFOs or conspiracy theories or any of these sorts of weird fields generally. A lot of it comes down to people assuming that other people are a lot more capable and intelligent than they themselves believe they are.
Well, right? I will say I hope that the eyes of a fighter pilot or the likes are more trained than me to at least be able to tell if something is stationary. Maybe, but I want to be able to say that. I don't know, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is, even like people who are trained to do these things are tricked, I'm sure, all the time. Just because of the way our brains are able to process information, right? We have not evolved to be in a fighter jet moving at, you know, Mach 1 to tell if an object is moving or not.
You're right. But,
you know, I agree with you. If we should expect anyone to be able to tell this difference, it would be someone who is a trained fighter pilot.
Right.
Right.
So we're told. The big question for me becomes, are they real? These photos, or is it, if it really is, a fucking balloon like that, that you would think they would know that. And that's a big fuck you to people if they're releasing it like that. And why do these things keep coming from Knapp and Bigelow? Are they really getting fed this stuff, or are they feeding us this stuff? And I'm not making these claims. I'm just saying the things that a lot of people are talking about. I don't know. Those are big questions.
What do you think, Flora?
I agree. I think you need to question the source, especially when it keeps coming from the same source over and over. And you can't really, man. My whole podcast is named after this shit. Like,
this is your bread and butter.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, there's two issues here, right? The first one is, like you guys are saying, the sources of this are the same people that have been bringing us bad data and information for 25 years, 30 years in this subject, you know? So, sure, but this is the same crack team that brought us cattle mutilations, you know, and like Skinwalker Ranch. And
but every one of those things that you're saying, they're buzzwords. And there are people that say you're wrong, and everything that they brought to us is realistic, and you just have the wrong outlook on it. I'm playing devil's advocate here, you know that.
And I guess that could also be true. But the way that I actually think of this, and I've over time being in kind of playing in this field and trying to do, interesting scientifically based research into this kind of phenomenon or anomaly, because I do think, again, you can't deny that people are reporting seeing UFOs, and that's interesting on its own. But the thing I find the one thing I always consider with this is it not like when you guys said like, oh, Knapp and Bigelow always put this stuff out there, I think people tend to get a feeling of like, they're doing this for some kind of agenda, or there's a plan here or whatever. I actually think it's far more likely that we're just dealing with people who just don't know what the hell they're talking about and keep putting out stuff because they think it is interesting or cool or good, but they're just wrong. It just isn't interesting or cool. It's not anything, these are just mistaken photos, or we just don't know or whatever. So it's not, it's not, what's that quote, right? It's like never ascribe to maleficence or like evil or whatever, what instead could be simply mistakes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So like, from my perspective, it's not that these people want to control the narrative or whatever. It's just that there isn't very good data here. They're not doing a very good job of finding data and getting information out there. And so this is just the quality we get, because it's the quality of the investigation.
How do you feel, though, about people like, let's take it to like Tom DeLonge and I'm sure Bigelow and them, that say, well, we know more, we just can't share it with you. Well, then you become part of the problem.
I don't care. Like, the guy at the bar tells me he caught a 20-foot long fish. Who cares? Tell us more then. Show me evidence. Yeah.
Are you talking about 20-foot Terry? That shit's real, man.
It's like, who gives a shit? And I mean, if they're gonna keep putting out there, again, just blurry photos or bad evidence or whatever of this kind, at what point are you the idiot for continuing to listen?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point of like everybody who says, well, I have the information, trust me. Why? Like, what makes you so trustworthy, and why only you get that information, and why can't you share it, or why won't you share it? That's very suspicious, because then points to, something mental for them, that they have to be special. They have to stand out from other people, an insecurity type thing for themselves that they, can't get over. It's like being in elementary school, and having something over, your peers, because it makes you feel good, makes you feel special.
I got some ice cream, and you ain't got
Dude, it's the my uncle works for Nintendo, or the my girlfriend is from Canada defense. It's just that.
How
over
is she,
over again.
Chris? So, I mean, how's she doing? BS.
She's wonderful, very very pretty. She's rich too.
She's going to be on the call today, but she had another modeling gig. You know how it goes.
Yeah, you never met her. But really, though, when stories like this happen for me, it's so frustrating, because it's like, it seems so obvious to me that the answer for all of this is don't trust any of them. We don't know. All you can know is stuff that you've determined yourself on this subject. The government doesn't know. George Knapp doesn't know. Bigelow doesn't know. Tom DeLonge doesn't know. We don't know. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Well, I think you're saying something that's even more terrifying is if all the stuff that we're seeing is all we know and the government has no idea, that's somehow even scarier to me.
Well, that's the other thing, right? If this is the caliber of photo that the military is capturing and investigating, what the fuck are they doing?
Well, yeah. Or is this just the caliber of photo that they're leaking out for? Because somewhere up there, someone thinks that's the way to do it. Somewhere up there, they always, someone
no, sure, listen,
what
we,
is
we all know that the truth is it's reptiles all the way up and down. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, they prefer sideways, but yes, up and down also.
Right.
Yes.
Anyways, that's my story this week.
Nice.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry. My story.
We're supposed to hiss at least 7 times in every episode for our reptilian overlords from now on, so we apologize if that's annoying.
Yes.
It's annoying, but it's in the contract. It's either 7 out. Hisses or nothing.
Yeah, well, maybe next time we'll have the pilot of the Bataloon on, and because they've already made contact with us, and Chris is just going to have egg all over his face. Literally egg on his face. We're going to take photos of it.
That's right.
We're going to see how long egg. He can hold his breath inside the yolk. It'll be fun. It's fun little, we're shooting for 2 minutes.
Nice tie together.
You know? And then we're going to sample his DNA. It all came full circle.
Yeah, see if it changes to reptilian at all.
You guys got anything coming up on your show? Anything exciting?
I got my season opener coming up where I get just drunk off my ass and then do a fun episode once a year thing. So I'm kind of not looking forward to it, but I am almost done writing it. God, it's taken so long to write these things, but I'll be releasing that soon.
Just
probably
wing
within
it.
The week.
It's a lot easier probably. If you don't try.
You know, I probably should, especially if I get drunk. So
right?
Yeah,
Chris, you got anything coming up?
Yeah, our time travel series is finally heating up, I guess. Well, finally. We're on episode 4, which should release sometime in the next couple of days.
As long as you can get that IBM running, it'll be launching real soon.
Oh, my God. So that's going on. People. And then
sorry.
And then
those dual tippler sinusoids or
sinusoid,
whatever.
Sinusoid, dual tip sinus, yeah.
Oh, my God. And then,
put it in the back of
actually,
my truck, Debbie.
I've been playing games on Twitch, and occasionally, Flora, we play together. And
hell
so
yeah.
Come check that out. That's
very
a lot
nice.
Of fun. It's kind of cool making new content and stuff. So, yeah.
Very nice.
Nice.
All right, I think that's 7.
Wait, do you game?
Say it again?
Do you game at all, Brent?
Not really. I've played PC gaming on and off, but no, my newest system's like the Dreamcast. So,
sweet.
Yeah, no, it's not.
He just admitted that.
I know. Hey, I'm a Dreamcast fanboy, you know?
Bro.
You know, this is when the dream died. But yeah, you know how it goes. So, we don't have anything coming up on Hysteria 51 other than our normal shenanigans as of this point in time. Maybe a bonus episode next week of something if you guys want to tune in. Wonder what that could be. We'll have to see. But other than that, yeah. So that's been our thoughts this week on Mad Blurry Hysteria. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Meeting adjourned.